put on my heart that there would be a woman's retreat in Africa, and that the topic of the retreat, that would be the thread throughout the retreat, would be their inheritance. In Africa, if you're married and you don't have a male child and your husband dies, the widow then does not inherit the home that she's been in. And that's a serious problem in a country where it's got 60% at least unemployment. And she may not have ever gone past the public schooling that they have there. And it is a real problem, because then they often feel like they need to become a third or fourth wife in a polygamous home. And one of our dear friends there, and I understand this is being recorded, so tonight I'm not going to use a lot of names. Okay. One of our dear friends there, this exact situation happened to her. We were there 2 years ago when it had just come. And her pain and her distress was laid on my heart. And I know that the Lord... answered our prayer in allowing this team to go back and to talk about the inheritance that God gives us, that we can choose, the inheritance that's eternal, that no one can take from us, no one can steal it, no one dying or passing can take it from us. It's our inheritance, and it's in the covenant, the everlasting covenant, and it's an eternal inheritance. And we talk about in the retreat, and I'm going to go through pictures tonight, since I want to introduce you to everybody and some of the testimonies that went on. But when we talk about details, at first, 2 years ago when we went, we thought there'd be about 30 women, and there were over 60. This time I thought, well, I went and I bought the crayons for 60, and the money came in from the congregation a little more than that, and I went, okay, and I went back and I bought 100. And guess what? We had 100 women at the retreat. God knew the details. What would I have done if I was 40 short of the crayon boxes, you know? And that kind of detail is what I'm talking about. Just God going before us, walking with us, and coming after us as the author and the finisher of his work. Of course, I'm going to read just one scripture tonight. It's from Matthew 25:35. And just the thrill of this scripture burns in my heart. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And this is part of the testimony that we shared with the women there. Was the testimony, I took pictures, and I'll show you some of the slides in a little bit. We took pictures that I had just taken. One was of Adam being created, and then 1,000 years later, Enoch being translated. Then years later, Noah and the ark. And what we talked to the people about was that the covenant was established in the beginning. And folks, if anybody's sitting here that hasn't been through the understanding of the everlasting covenant and the fact that no other faith on the earth has that covenant, and that's the covenant you're baptized into, we'll have a class on that later. But this is the covenant that was established from the beginning. And as people partook of it, kept that covenant, they were preserved. And when wickedness would come, as early as Adam's grandson Enos, the wickedness was so much around that Enos was taken right there in that area to a promised land. He was taken and put in a promised area. And then we find Enoch later. He still had Adam alive during his life. And Enoch, the city of Zion was established. Wickedness reigned around. It wasn't that everybody was righteous, and so it was easy to make Zion. Read about that in the scriptures. But Zion was established, this covenant. and they were translated, and people were actually taken off the earth at that time, righteous people. And then we come, people are wicked again. Noah's building the ark. The Lord again is preserving a people, preserving that gospel of the kingdom, preserving that covenant. One of the things that happened, again a detail up there, is this was something that had been laid on my heart, I thought, for the women. And on the spur of the moment, it was something we were going to use for the youth retreat. And so I had prayed about it just before we went up there. And the Lord took me in a little different direction than with the women. With the women, we took it from Noah's Ark to the fact that not too long after the Ark was preserved and the people on the Ark were preserved, wickedness again came on the earth. And the tower of the Great Tower was being built, because the Lord had sent forth the prophecy that if they didn't repent and keep the covenant, that He would confound their languages and disperse them. And they thought that if they built a great tower, God would know they were a great people, and that wouldn't happen. Well, of course, we know that it's got to do with our repentance. And then that's where we take the people into the Book of Mormon. And we show that how after the flood, when the waters came off, this is all scriptural, I don't have time to bring all the scriptures to you tonight, when the waters came off of the Americas, that the Lord had preserved that land so that again He could take a covenant people there who would keep His covenant and preserve the gospel of the kingdom so that it could spread. That's how we talked to the people and introduced the Book of Mormon in that area, was showing them that every time wickedness came, the Lord preserved a people that would be righteous. Think about the connotations for that for our day in the midst of the world. Okay, with the kids though, at the youth camp that we had first, I was up there and I started it and came to Noah, and the Lord just placed on my heart that the young people needed another direction. And that was that, you know, Noah had three sons. You know that. Everybody knows that. The sons and their wives were on the ark with him. Well, what you may not understand is that Noah's sons had daughters. And it says in the scriptures that they sold themselves by marrying in the world and not in the covenant, not bringing their husbands to the covenant. They were not on the ark. This is something that we discussed with the kiddos. Because one of the problems there is when the young ladies follow tradition rather than what they're learning in the gospel, they will partner with a young man, and then usually he makes a home for her. But what's happening in these modern times are some of those young men are seeing modern times and are not staying with the young lady. Okay? We want these young ladies to stay in school, to be pure, and to make those decisions, to make their covenant in the Lord. And so this was a particularly important story for them, because the girls came to me afterwards and they said, why didn't their father make them go on the ark? They just couldn't understand that the family didn't, because they have very strong families over there, couldn't make them. And so we went back to the scriptures and again had another session the next day where we talked about the fact that everybody was invited onto that ark, just like everybody's invited to Zion here. They are invited to partake of the covenant. But we've got to make that choice. Each person has to make that choice. They've got to decide if they're going to be on the ark or not. And you know what? They had to decide before the rain came, because the door was shut. All right? Well, there's a happiness to this. That's not the end of it. We talked about repentance and the fact that, and this is the word of the Lord that came to the group there. It's just very simple, but I'll read it to you. This came one day, no matter what you have done, if you will come to Jesus, He will forgive you. And He will take that sin so you can stand before your Heavenly Father. Go thy way and sin no more. And that was the revelation, that was the word of the Lord that came through Ron Smith to the group that was there. And that was the message that was brought. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that plan of salvation was from the beginning. And what we have to do is embrace it. And so this whole time was about embracing that and giving us tools for that. And this morning, if you were here, that's a whole miracle is in the translation of the Book of Mormon right now. That's a miracle. What you heard every step of that is a miracle in terms of the Lord giving direction on how that can be done effectively. And not just that, but then we came with the tools. And our tools are what the Lord has given us in the scriptures. And I'm going to show you some pictures now. We're going to go just through some things. I hope to have some testimonies as we go through. The first testimony is what a joy it was. This is Pressler Odita and my brother Doug arriving in Kenya. I remember in the airport, I was flying into Amsterdam, and I had about a half hour to get from one end of the ginormous, I'll use that word, airport in Amsterdam to the flight for Nairobi. And as I got off the plane, my brother Doug was standing there. And it was a thrill to remember when we were running as little ones together. And to be ministering for the Lord together was a real thrill. That's just a personal thing. Some of my luggage didn't make it. Went to Memphis, Tennessee. Who knows why? But the Lord, remember the detail thing? I'm going to come up with it. I mean, there's more details than I can tell you. Somehow, I had put the lanyards for the women's name tags, the things they hang on, at the last minute at home. I'd stuck those in the suitcase that made it. And so the kiddos had their name tags when we got there. Just a little thing, but the one with the lanyards that went to the young people's name tags were in Memphis, Tennessee. And they did get there in time for the women's retreat. So the Lord had that, even though there was something rotten happening, the Lord worked it out so that it all came together. So I just wanted to mention again those details that the Lord takes care of are just marvelous. This is in Kisumu, and this is at the guest house that you heard about this morning. And this is a wonderful young lady. She's such a blessing to us. And she's actually from Rwanda and is there taking care of the home right now. When I got there, I had been traveling all night on a bus. I had arrived at 4:00 in the morning and sat in the bus station for 2 hours till the household got up. And that bus ride was wonderful, though. At one point in the bus ride, there's no electrical lights in some of those stretches through the country of Africa. I was going from Nairobi to Kisumu, and I looked out my window, and there were galaxies that you could see, and more stars than a planetarium you can see, just bright and shooting stars coming across the sky. And I just sat there in wonder at the awesomeness of God, and it helped me understand that His marvelous work and His wonder that He talks about is coming to pass, and He will be the author and finisher of His work. This is on our way out. I just wanted to introduce you to a few people that we've had a lot of testimonies about. This is Tom Okeo. Standing beside him is Pressler Odita, who is Dean Odita's younger brother. He's 17. The young man in the red is Michael, and that is Tom Okeo's son, and then Ruby. And both wonderful young people, all of them are. You'll recognize Frank Fry here. Joab Simba is next to him, and then Regan, and then Evans, and then on the right-hand side, you'll see Doug Smith and Ron Smith. And usually if you see photographs, it'll be either Frank's in it or I'm in it, because we had the two cameras, and this was also a detail. Mine was stolen, and we have pictures because Frank was there. Usually I'm the only one in the camera, so this is a real blessing that the Lord stepped in there. But I'll share with you in a little bit some more of the testimonies. That's I just showed this one because I had very few with Eric Odita in it, and that's Tom O'Kayo. These two young men, this was the two young men that you see here are Evans and Michael. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of Evans's testimony. Evans, 2 years ago, was a young teacher in the community of Lisana. And he spent the day, what he does is he was going at that time to college during the week and coming to Lisana on the weekend and teaching the people and then holding services on Sunday. And he spent the day with us under a tree from 10 to 3 o'clock. The people stayed too and asked any questions they wanted to ask about the gospel and about the church. At the end of this time, when we were leaving, Evans had one request. Now, some people in Africa, you get a lot of different kinds of requests when they see Mzungus, white people. But Evans' only request was, would you pray for me that my mind would be quickened by the Holy Spirit, that I can understand what I learned and be able to use it for the kingdom? And I do believe that Frank can testify that this young man, you'll see a picture of him, translating the Book of Mormon. He has been blessed academically and spiritually in his understandings because of the pure desire of his heart to serve the Lord in this way. Michael Onyego is the one, if you ever see soapstone over here, he's the beautiful artist of those things. But not only is his art in the things he creates with his hands, Michael was in charge of this youth camp. And it was a thrill for us. He was baptized, David baptized him 2 years ago. And to see the growth, he studies all the time. His Book of Mormon is completely done with duct tape because he's used it so much. And he knows how to open it and where to go. And this was a thrill for us too, to see that that these ministers for the Lord are moving forward and in ways that are so powerful, and their ministry is a true ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in deed. This was the first service, and they were directing it for the young people there. The hymnals, by the way, that they're holding, we also brought over with us, and they were a real blessing too. Another congregation donated some hymnals. Alicia Sant was helpful in that. This is everything that we did had to be translated. At this time, we were using English and Luwel at the youth camp because a lot of the young people did know English, if they didn't, you know. And so English and Luwel were the two languages. And here, Eric Odita is actually translating for Michael Onyego. If you just, you know, kids are kids. Eric's wearing every name tag that was on the wrong person around his neck right there. One of them was his son. This is a part of my heart here, talking to another part of my heart. This is Jane Odico. And if you haven't heard, I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what her husband wrote when she was baptized just a year ago. Let me see if I've got it here. I don't have it here. Her husband, Austin, had been baptized before her and had wished and desired and prayed for Jane to come into the church. And Jane studied. She's a very intelligent lady, as are all these women. She's a school teacher and well-read, extremely well-read. Austin is too. And have given their life over to the Lord. That testimony, if you haven't heard that one, ask me that one later too. But Jane did embrace the gospel and was baptized, and since that time has just given herself to go to everyone in her family and share the gospel of the kingdom with them. At the youth retreat, she came. We have a mama and a daddy at the retreat. She was the mama for all the girls, and Caleb Demiri was the papa for all the guys, and you'll see a picture of him also. Both of these people, humble servants in the Lord. And then when it came time for the women's retreat, Jane had brought her daughter-in-law, her sister-in-law, and everybody else that she could bring. And she's been sharing the gospel with them. This is where we wash our hands before we eat, one of the young people there. This is chapati, our favorite of all the foods, with some beans. And the kids, young people, were remembering a song that was made up at the last youth camp by some of our young people about how we love chapati. This is Francis is on the your right hand side there. Francis is an elder in the church and a blessing to us too. In the middle is Monica. Now Monica had been at youth camps before, but the young person on her right is her brother Harrison. And he hadn't been. And so that was one of the things that I just showed this one grouping, but there was just numbers of them who had come before, who brought their family and their friends to learn more about the gospel. And Monica had some scriptures, and she had some very good questions, some very pointed, just really some good understandings in there. And I was sitting on the front row with a number of girls. We always shared whatever scriptures we had. She goes, "Harrison, you get up there and you look at those scriptures." So Harrison pulled a chair up, and for hours we would sit. We would start about 7 in the morning, and we wouldn't be done till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And these young people sat, and I'll show you some pictures here. Oh, I just wanted to show you these two ministers in the gospel. If you've ever heard the testimony of Wilson from Aquaro and the change in the police system there and how it became famous because of the effectiveness of it over a corrupt system that had been before. This is Wilson on the left-hand side. Both of them translate for us and are wonderful ministers for the Lord. And children are children everywhere, and that guitar is, and their singing is just beautiful. I have some of it recorded. I don't know how to put it on here, but when I get a chance, I will. This is the group. There were over 120 young people at this youth camp. Joab Simba is translating for me, and I am going to. I just asked the Lord to help me know which testimonies to share. I am going to tell Joab Simba's story. I'm going to make the story of his parent, the testimony of his parents, a little shorter than it is. There's a lot more detail that I'm going to give you here. But his mom is Hulda Simba, a wonderful, stalwart, foundational person in the gospel going forth in Kenya. Hulda and her husband had been important in the government and had found themselves starting to drink and do things that weren't good. And their family then got involved in that, and as Joab says, they became alcoholics and life fell apart for them. His two brothers were in Nairobi. His oldest brother, Maurice, was told that he needed to stop by the doctor, and because his liver was he would die. And Eric Odita was brought by the Lord into his life at that time, and he embraced the gospel. His brother Kevin, who Joab says does everything that Maurice did, also joined the gospel, and the whole family then learned about the gospel. Well, Hulda had been in their country home where Joab had been with her. And Joab had quit school at the age of 13. He had been in about Form 5 there. And he'd quit school. He started working, making money in a car wash. Where in Africa, I'm going to tell you, these are the cleanest people. Awesome cleanliness. They clean their bikes and their cars and their wheels and their clothing and everything. Just so clean. And it's real important to them. Well, Joab was working at one of these washes. And very, I'm going to tell you some sad things. It's hard to tell you sad things when there's so many exciting things happening in the gospel. So, but know that these things have been a part of some of these lives. Some of the drug pushers then would use these young people for their drug businesses. So some of these young boys were being used this way. And it was really, really sad. And Joab moved with his mom to Nairobi. And in Nairobi, they were given the gospel. Well, so this is about 3 years after he had not been in school for 3 years. And he's found the gospel. His family has given up alcohol, given up all the things of the world. The Lord's healed them. They're thriving. They're thriving in the gospel, giving their lives to the building of the kingdom. And Joab finds himself an older young man. And he doesn't want to go back to, you know, the fifth grade in school, because everybody's little and he's big, and he doesn't know what to do, but they all pray for him. His family does and encourage him. And so he went and he took a test that you have to take to try to get into the eighth grade. Now he says that when they put the paper in front of him and told him to write a composition, he looked at the pen because he wasn't sure which way to hold the pen to write the composition. But he says the power of the Lord was with him in such a way that he wrote that composition and he was accepted into the eighth grade. Well, it turned out they couldn't afford that school. So he had to go to another one and he was like, oh no, I can't write a composition again. But they did. They asked him for another composition and again he asked the Lord and the Lord blessed him with it. Well, they got into school and midway through the first grading period, he had a midterm test, and he did so poorly on it that the kids made fun of him, and one girl especially just laughed at him. And he said, well, Lord, this won't do. So again, he went to the Lord and asked for the Lord's help in understanding and in doing his schoolwork. By the end of the term, Joab was third in his class. And by the end of the year, Joab was first. And because of that, he was sponsored then because of he got a bursary or a scholarship. And his schooling was paid for all the way through high school. And Joab ended up first in his class at the end of his high school. And Joab is one of our translators on the Book of Mormon. And let me tell you, folks, I have worked in two languages. And that young man, when he translates for me, when I'm teaching a class, he knows the concepts. He knows the context. And he's able to talk to the people, not just word for word what I'm saying, but he can put the whole thing together. Yes, come on up.
I just wanted to say that wherever I went, when Job was with me, he wouldn't let me carry it.
These are humble servants of the Lord, and Brother Frank Fry was just telling us that wherever we went, Joab wouldn't let him carry anything. And they're just humble servants of the Lord who the Lord has taught from on high. And believe me, as they translate their understanding. I sat in the room one day. They were just in another room, but it's open. And as they translated, the power of God just rested on me. And I knew that he was resting on those young men, and thought that must have been something like the power that rested with Joseph Smith when he translated. Anyway, okay. That's Joab Simba's story.
Kara?
Yes, sir.
Most of the places don't have a place to worship. Is that a rented facility?
This is a rented facility, and your dollars from here in this congregation paid for it. Okay, the youth camp was paid for by another congregation, and the women's retreat was paid for by our congregation here. Thank you. We filled the chairs. Sometimes we sat on the tables at the back. We filled it. I show you this slide only because it's the only one with a picture. On the right-hand side in the lower part, you'll see at the youth camp that the youth had a activity. And a fun activity for them. And they had on one side of this board the things you could do to stay pure and to stay in the covenants that you had made. Oh, and yeah, that's right. Frank did take it all down. And then on the other side, the things that you shouldn't do that would take you away from the covenant. And of course, on the side, things you shouldn't do, go to the places where they're drinking, hang out with people that are doing the wrong thing. It was wonderful. It was wonderful how they had worked through all that and the things that would keep them in the gospel and keep them in the faith. Let me tell you, folks, these people are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And talk about feasting. When we were able to bring scriptures to them, they sit and they feast on those scriptures as though it were over here, what, the latest movie that came out or something. They're doing that with the scriptures. And it's just so exciting to be a part. Here's some of the young people. I'm going to show you some of the pictures of the young people, whatever paper they could find. They were using, a lot of them brought their notebooks from school. And what they did, Monica was telling me that they would write down the scriptures and then they would go back to their rooms and they would look the scriptures up again that we had used during the classes. And you can see, I'll point out one of our young ladies. This is Winnie on the right-hand side there. Winnie is one of the young people that has really grown in the Lord and is really a force for righteousness among the young people. They put together a little play that I don't have time tonight to tell you about, but tell you another time. I'll just show you some of the young people. This is Henry, another member of our family. He's actually a cousin of Tom's, nephew of Tom's. Eric Odita. And it was wonderful to see Henry there ministering too in the gospel. Yes, sir.
Not only is Henry, but Job is her first cousin also. Huldah is his aunt.
Yes.
Eric's aunt.
Yes. Yeah. I think I have a picture of the group if I get to it here. This is an interesting story, and I'm not going to tell it fully, but basically, Henry's father at one time just didn't want his sons to have anything to do with that church of Eric Odita. And then as his father saw that the young men of the church were those that pursued education and made something of their lives, he said, "Eric, take my boys." And Henry lives with Eric now and is growing in wonderful ways. Just a side note. Henry reminds me of Isaiah Johnson, if you know him at all. Just has a sense of humor like that, about the same height too. This is another one of our family. This is Mercy Okeo. It's Tom Okeo's younger sister. Again, another one of those these young people who are on fire for the Lord. And if we had time tonight, I'd share her testimony also. She stood up and talked about being at university and the pressures to drink and do other things, and how in not giving into those pressures, she had been able to be a testimony and a force for good among the people that she's with. She's also just a on fire testimony of Jesus Christ with these young people. One of the things they did at the camp was all the young ladies here took the name of a younger girl at the camp, and they're going to keep in contact with them and be support for them. Isn't that wonderful? It was just, they put all the names in a hat, and then all the girls came up and chose the name of the younger one. And even as the camp ended, we saw them sitting with the girls and studying with the girls. It was a wonderful thing to see, to have that mentor in there. Just again, reading their scriptures. This one, though, this is Justice. And this is another testimony that I've got to share with you. You're going to see in a little bit, they did teach the law of stewardship. The people now, they've had the Doctrine and Covenants in the scriptures, were able to get some Doctrine and Covenants over there. And they love learning the law. They get excited about learning about stewardship. I had two special testimonies here. Francis, who was here, shared his testimony at the women's retreat. I'm stopping on Justice. I better just tell Justice is right now. Justice was without a job, and this is the email I got when we got home. Glory be to God. He has been good to me for the past 3 weeks. I have been helping a certain friend run his business, and now the same friend has helped me jumpstart my own business. It is growing slowly, but I thank God because I know it is his blessings. Our God is truly awesome. Always remember to pray for me, that I will expand to greater heights and be blessed. Anyway, yes?
Is he the only member of the church in Mombasa?
I think he is.
He came to me and wanted me to send him more material. And he says, when you come back next time, there's going to be a branch in Mombasa.
There you go. Brother Frank was sharing with us that he wanted more materials. He said, when you come back next time, there'll be a branch in Mombasa. So that's the kind of fervor that these young people have. And they have the testimony, and they have the understanding to go with that. Oh, there's the... How many of you get excited about thinking about inventory? Well, when you think about it in terms of we're counting the gifts that God gave us, it gets exciting. And making accounting of it, and then managing for increase. Wow, what a concept, because of the joy of being able to give. And these kids were excited about that. And the women, too. The same classes taught at the women's retreat. There are the other four. There are six principles that they talk about: tithing the increase, consecrating the surplus, and then gathering. Here's some of the girls. This is in one of our work groups. And what I'm going to show you here is the lesso. Do you see on the girls, there's a cloth that's kind of like this. This is a lesso, okay? And with Frank this morning, you saw some of the pictures where he showed how God was on the Matatu and on the store and everywhere else. Well, there's another place that they have that speaks of God. And there's a little testimony that goes with this one. And the lesso, for me, is real important. It's real important for everybody there. The lesso, if you need to sit somewhere, the lesso can go on the ground. The baby can have a clean place to sit. It can be tied up and the baby hangs on your back very securely with it. It can go over your head when the sun's getting to be too much at the baptism. It goes around you like this and becomes a skirt. Okay, the lesso is just a real blessing. Well, there's something about the lesso that is really, really important. And I'm gonna show you this one. We were in Kisumu, and we had to go to an internet cafe to use the computer. We were trying to get some things ready for the women's retreat. And one of the things that we did was I sent emails back and forth to find out what kinds of things the priesthood were thinking the women needed. And then the first day that I was in Nairobi, Pam and I, because my luggage was gone, had hours to spend together, talking about the needs of the women, what the classes would be needed, that kind of thing. And then my roommate was Jane Odiko. And it was just such a blessing because they were able to tell us what the needs of the women were. And one of the needs of the women was the same need we have everywhere: overcoming conflict, not holding grudges, forgiving, being able in congregational group to be so solid that love overcomes the other things. So that was going to be one of our first classes of the women's retreat. Well, the Lord had given me, I have in the back of my scriptures, these are my cheat notes, and one of them in here is overcoming conflict. And I was able to go to the internet cafe and start with those scriptures, and it's some of what I use in the school with the kiddos. Anyway, it had just come together so beautifully that I knew that it was what the Lord wanted, and Doug's class that was coming after on forgiveness just seemed to fit together, and we got that done. We were ready to go. Some of the men were still finishing printing some of their things, and we were in this big mall. It's fairly modern looking, And there's some kiosks there with some of the crafts and things from Kenya. And we don't usually buy there because it's more expensive than if you're at the market. But this lasso caught my eye. And me being who I am, I went and looked at all of them to see, well, maybe I'd like something better. And there wasn't anything I liked better. And I talked to everybody and they said, oh, we'll go to the market. You don't need to buy here where it's expensive. So I thought, okay, I won't buy it. And looked back at that lasso and something inside said, you need that lasso. I was like, okay. And then I said, no, I'll go to the market. Well, the guys started out the door and they were all the way to the door. And I went, yes, you need that lasso. So I went back, I ran back. I said, can I have that one right there? She said, that one, yeah. She got it off, gave it to me. I had twice as much money in the bill that I had. And so she got somebody bystander there to give me the change. She said she'd give it to her later. handed it to me and handed me the lasso and I was out the door. And I got into the car and I pulled out the lasso and I said, okay, Tom, can you translate that for me? And Tom looked at it and he says, well, Karen, it says, stop contending and God can work with you. The details, remember the symphony I'm talking about? The Lord was warming up all those instruments. He was doing his work. And it was just such a joy. We hung that on the front of the table there at the retreat when we came to the women's retreat. I'm going to show you a couple more of these. Talk about having things. I'm not going to unfold them all. This one says, parents are the treasury of life. Honor thy father and thy mother. This one says, the one to thank is God. So you're wearing these. You got them over your head. You're wrapping your baby in them. You're setting your children on them. This one says, happiness comes with a pure heart. Our blessed are the pure in heart. Give thanks to God in all things. God's love is forever. And from our sermon this morning, God does not discriminate, he gives to all. No respecter of persons. Anyway, another thing that we talked about when we were at the women's retreat, and this was the most important maybe, was this idea of the covenant and our inheritance in the kingdom of God. And it was amazing how that went in and through every class that we had. And it was a real blessing. Another element of this, though, was I had just seen some pictures that somebody had taken of Africa, and they were showing how modern a city Nairobi was. And the biggest thing in the picture was a Coke bottle. It was huge. I mean, I don't know how big that sign is. It was a multi-story building that it took up the sign. And it said, open happiness. And when I was on the plane on the way over, I think I have it in 10 different languages. Open happiness. Folks, one thing you've got to know is that the word of wisdom in the Doctrine and Covenants was given for all people everywhere. And one of the things we did talk to the women about was their health. And Doug was there as a medical doctor to tell them exactly what some of these things did, alcohol, caffeine, other drug drinks that do come over there, cigarettes. And, you know, in this country, there's people that think they get away with that kind of thing, although I think your health is compromised when you're using those things. Just, we'll have that class later, too. But when you're in a country where your nutrition is minimal anyway, when you're just barely getting enough food, and then you introduce something like that, for instance, caffeine is a diuretic, the Coke is. What it does is it takes out some of your B vitamins that are essential. I won't teach that class right now. you're still thirsty. Does it all, yeah, interrupts the calcium, all kinds of things, okay? So we were able to have a class with the women where we talked about their health. And you know what? Instead of excusing it away and making excuses for it, they were excited that God loved them so much that he had given modern-day revelation about how they could live because they hadn't known that before. And they were done. They were done with those things in their lives. And they were embracing those things that would be good for them. It was a miracle. It was a blessing from God. Okay. There were baptisms. This is Brother Caleb. He is a humble servant of God and a mighty worker in the church there in Kenya. This is back in the This is back in the guest house. And for me, this was a special surprise when we got there. This is Ellie's wife, Trofina, and her daughter, Antonina, who was baptized when we were there last time, and her daughter, Alice. You may have heard Alice's story, and that is the one where her father was out ministering, and one of the elders came. He thought there was supposed to be a priesthood thing. He was there, again, a detail. He was there early. Alice was dying. She had a really horrible fever. They had been to the doctor. She was convulsing. And Trofina was crying. And she handed Alice to Tom. And Tom just said all he could say was, God help us, as he prayed over her. And she sat up. She hadn't eaten for a long time. She sat up, was hungry, and was out playing by the time her father got home from the mission they'd been on. Anyway, if you haven't heard that testimony, there's more details of that one too. But this is Alice as she's growing up. And I remember even at the last retreat, Alice was the one on the front row, every class that there was, listening so intently. And on the lap of Trofina is baby Emma Smith. This is the boys translating. There's Evans and Joab, as they're working on the Book of Mormon. There's Emma again. Christina's young family. There's Austin Odico, who I don't have time to... I see that my brother took the clock down. I do have... there were a number of confirmations, baby blessings, and administrations. In this one, and I am going to tell you this, Ron Smith is on the left and Tom O'Kale on the right, and they are blessing Ron Smith. The little baby there is Ron Smith. Now, you might think that, oh, that's to honor Ron, but really, what happens in this country is when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, comes into their lives, they will name a child something that will remind them of that testimony. So when Ron gets older, he'll say, where did my name come from, Mama? And Mama will say, that's when the gospel came to our home. And that's when we took part in the covenant, and they'll teach their children that covenant. That's what that naming is about. That's why Emma Smith has her name. All right? That's what that is. I had the distinct honor of meeting the mother of these young men for the first time, some of them. And just, it was such a joy as we embraced each other. As they stood and testified, and I could tell you testimony after testimony of how the Lord has transformed the lives of these young people, their families, their villages, and now their branches, because they've become branches of the church. And these are just some of the women. In the middle there with the purple name tag is Hulda Simba. There's Hulda with Joab. This is Salome. If I could, I have her singing a song that's one of our favorites over there, and I'll tell you some of the words of it. Salome's singing it, and I've got to get somebody that can help me take care of this. One More is what we call it, and we sing it very frequently. And the words of it are, there is a wonderful world ahead of us where we are there. When we are there, we will be happy forever. And Salome is part of the reason that there was a women's retreat at all at this time. Salome is Eric Odita's elderly aunt. And you've heard that testimony before, but I'll just give it here. She joined the church and embraced the gospel and was baptized. And the people at the church where she used to go would come to her door and stand outside and even talk with the neighbor and talk about how she was going to hell and how wicked she was. And she would just sing the songs, sing the hymns. And when you walk into her house, she's usually singing those hymns, and the Spirit of God just falls on you. And you, when you come into a Kenyan home, you don't sit down at first. You stand. And you stand until the mother in the home comes and says a prayer. And then you can sit. And then you talk for a while. And then you're introduced. So don't introduce yourself right off the bat. But that's part of the way that it is. Well, Salome was thinking that pretty soon she might get to go home and see the Lord. And her one desire was that they would have a women's retreat for the women, because her desire is for the women to know this gospel. And I've got to tell you that her steadfastness in the village where she is has made it so that the young people, and especially one that's very dear to my heart, Cassia, feel the freedom to go ahead and be baptized and to leave behind the things that were maybe traditional in their lives. And she's been such a big example and such a blessing to them all. And she was there with us. And to make the trip over there, we crowded in. There were four of us. How do I describe those little cars? They're little tiny cars. And we had four of us in the back seat and the luggage too. And she smiled the whole way.
She's 93
or 94 years old. One of the oldest people that I've even ever seen over there. And just encourages the young people in the gospel every chance she gets. And sings. If I can get it sometime, I'll have that song for you. This is Regan's mother. And you were saying the Doak sisters. This is Esther and Penina. They're twins. And Frank was mentioning that some of these kids are our relatives too, and on the left-hand side there is Pam's mom, Judith. Yeah, Judith. This is our dining hall. We sat around tables. You can see some of how we work there. Esther Onyego is Michael Onyego's mother, and that's Pam Odita, and then Judith, Pam's mom, right there. Mama Michael. Oh, I just stuck this one in here. This is James McKay and Ronald Smith. James would take care of Ronald. Ronald's a little younger than he is. And was a little better behaved, I think.
Never believe it.
Anyway, I just wanted to show you that picture just because I knew that would mean something to you. Some more of the women. Beautiful, beautiful people. This is a group that got baptized. Another part of my heart, Lillian, who she and her husband labor for the Lord in a place called Nakuru. And she was there with us, with her whole family. And I don't know if I have a picture of this or not, but just her testimony of being there. There's a friend of hers that had embraced the gospel, had the testimony, and then found it difficult to explain things. And that's why it's so important, that why I tell you this is so important, that we get these materials in the language of the people, and that the Book of Mormon is written in the language. Because then they can read in their own language the things that are going on, and it's easier to share what they've learned. Lillian at the table at lunch one day kept sitting there while, you know, people would chat with me and this kind of thing, and she kept sitting there, and I knew she had family to attend to, and she came up, she said, "Let's pray together." And so right there at the lunch table, we prayed for our dear friend in Nakuru, and prayed that they could, Lillian and her husband could go home and could teach what they had learned. And that's one thing I would ask for each of you. That's one of the things that we tried to enable the women with at this time, including that book that we had, was how to go through and talk to their families about the things they'd learned and how to use the scriptures and things to do that. And I've got to tell you about Lillian's husband, Chikonga. This was his first baptism. And when he came back from the baptism, I thought he was maybe glowing. He was so excited about the new lives that had come to Christ. Just what I want you to do, if you would please, is continue your prayers and your love. These people are our family. Our family in the Lord, and they feel like our family. And when I go there, it's like going home. When I come home, it's like coming home. And it's so wonderful to be across the ocean around the world and to have that feeling of being home among the saints of the Lord. And they were excited to hear the testimonies of the gospel going forward in India. They were leaving behind, with hard decisions to make, polygamy, leaving behind those traditions that were not the way that the Lord had intended us to be pure, leaving behind the things that would not bring them into the covenant. And they were ready and testified and dedicated themselves. And what we saw was those that had done that 2 years ago lived out that covenant and that dedication. And because they had, more were living that. And I just want to bring that as a testimony to you, the women, especially in the women's retreat, want to just thank you and say that their hearts and their love are with you, and their prayers are with you also. So thank you.